a look at Operation Zero Tolerance. Is it fair? It began in March, and since then, police and custom officials in the United States have seized more than 650 vehicles at border crossings. About half of those have been seized at Canadian border crossings. No mercy is basically what the plan means. Officials in the state say that it's the best way they have to fight drug dealers, by arresting drug users. And they say one of the best ways to discourage drug users is to hit them where it hurts, in the wallet or the car ownership, whatever. So if you are passing through the border crossing at, say, Port Huron, Detroit, if you have so much as a seed of marijuana in your possession, you can expect to lose your car, your vehicle. You should also know that no charges have to be laid for the seizure. If they can prove that you had it, they can keep your car. Now, in the case of one London woman, certainly a story that has made the news in the last week more than many of the other hundreds of seizures, a woman named Julie Gifford, she crossed at Detroit, and she had her car seized when they discovered that she was carrying a drug called ephedrine, which is basically stay-awake pills. She was arrested, fingerprinted, body searched. They took her money from her. They made her change her Canadian currency to American currency and then confiscated it. And they left her with only taxi fare back to Windsor. When she appeared in court, she was able to show them proof that the drug is legal in both Canada and the United States, and the charge was dismissed. But as of the end of last week, Gifford still had not had her car returned. Question to you this morning, is Operation Zero Tolerance fair? Is the program a good one? Do you think that maybe, just maybe, this will help to stem what is most certainly becoming a very, very serious problem, not only in the United States, but in Canada as well, drug abuse? Or is this going too far? Is this, some might call, typical overreaction on the part of Americans, confiscating private property worth thousands, indeed, in some cases, of some yachts we've heard of being seized, millions of dollars? 643-9898 is my phone number. Lines are open now. I'd like to hear your reaction to Operation Zero Tolerance. I'd like to hear any border crossing stories that you have also this morning, both going into the United States and coming back into Canada. I know certainly from some friends, I've heard some horror stories of cars being torn apart and searched, and people being left to put things back together themselves. If you've been through that kind of thing, tell us your story this morning. Or are you usually dealt with politely and fairly by custom officials on both sides? 643-9898. Out-of-town callers, go through the operator, call collect so I can pay for it. Operation Zero Tolerance is what we're talking about this morning. Are you for it or against it? Perhaps, do you think Canada should consider doing the same thing? This morning on Talkback.
More weather. Join me this afternoon at 3 on Radio 98.
And this is Talkback on Radio 98. My name's Ann Hutchison. It's 21 minutes past 9 o'clock. We're talking about Operation Zero Tolerance. Is it fair? Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Ann.
Hi.
I'm afraid there's no other way to translate the term zero tolerance other than making it equate to zero justice, zero intelligence, zero fairness, and zero fundamental justice. I am astounded that of all the countries in the world, the United States of America would resort to this kind of tactic. This is something you'd expect in the Soviet Union or some communist country where they have no regard for individual justice or rights whatsoever, and these things aren't a matter for concern. To see this happen in North America is just a shocking to me.
Okay, what bothers you about it, Bob?
Well, for starters, the innocent are treated like the guilty. There's no recourse for these people. I mean, you know, this just opens up. You know, drug laws have never worked. They never will work. Customs officials have been telling us for years and years now that it's hopeless, that the tide of drugs coming into Canada, the States, and every other country in the world is greater than it has ever been. And this will never change. And the stronger our laws are against the drugs, the more incentive we give drug pushers and people to import them at the higher prices. It becomes a smaller risk for a bigger take. And it's, you know, drug laws are really a quick road to a police state and a violent society. How, you know, we've already seen this guy that's off Florida. He loses his yacht. Did you see on Channel 7 News the other night what the police are doing in Detroit to the blacks in certain areas? If they find a black person on the street and he has cash on him, they take the cash, whether it's associated with drugs or not. They give him no receipt, no recourse, no way to determine whether he's guilty or innocent of his crime. What do you think this is going to do to our system of justice? I think, you know, the first thing a lot of drug pushers are going to say, well, we're going to arm ourselves to the teeth. We're going to make sure that we protect our interests, and that if we are confronted by anything, it's going to be violence right on the spot.
All right, let's talk about the border crossings, mm-hmm. though, and how effective this might be. There are those who feel, Bob, that by getting tough like this and threatening people with the confiscation of their vehicles, that this is going to discourage casual drug users from crossing the border with, you know, a few joints, whatever, and that somehow this is going to dry up the big sources.
Oh, it might discourage a handful of people, but it isn't even going to touch the tip of the iceberg. I mean, the people who really know how to move these illicit drugs and stuff are not going to take the usual routes. I mean, okay, let's say they can take your car away. What are you going to do? Well, you rent a car then, and you don't care who takes it. I mean, the only victims of these laws are innocent people. I have read so many cases of women at borders who have been body searched. By every other description, that would be called rape. But because a customs officer can say that he's looking for drugs, it's justified.
Well, except they always have women customs officers do the searching, Bob.
Does that make any difference? I mean, the fact is, your body is violated. There's nothing inherent in the nature of drug use that justifies the kind of laws we have. I personally believe there should be one principle behind every law dealing with every type of drug abuse, including alcohol, and that is that the user should be responsible for his actions and that the law should bring the full recourse of its weight down if someone does something that inadvertently or on purpose or whatever hurts people around him. But as far as people taking drugs themselves, you're never going to have a law that'll stop that. And what really frightens me is how easy it would be for a police officer to go up to anyone he doesn't like or the state doesn't like for some reason, plant something on them as far as drugs goes. Justice doesn't, you know, under zero tolerance, there's no justice, so forget it. The person has no recourse, may never have used drugs, but because somebody planted something on them, there goes all their chances of anything they ever worked for in their life. I think these kind of laws are just a total disgrace to everything that a free society is all about. Yes, we need laws that prohibit people from harming other people, but these kind of laws do the opposite.
Bob, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good morning, Diane. The same way.
Oh, boy. She wants a magic wand, too, and I suppose the tooth fairy to come by and make it all better. I mean, that's an insane proposal. I mean, if we want to address the problems. The problems are inner-city crime by people who are selling drugs and arming themselves to protect their sales. And the second big problem is we have a vast organized crime network profiting by this. And the third biggest problem is we have police corruption, police bribery, because the stakes are so high. And the money offered to police by the organized crime network and various drug sellers is so high. And then we have the fabulous cost to the taxpayer. We have four big problems here, all of which can be addressed if we legalize it and put it in pharmacies and control the sale. I mean, after all, it's got to the point where it's not even drug users who are the problem. Nobody's talking about a guy smoking a joint in his living room being the problem. We're talking about people carrying guns and selling it on the street, 14-year-olds selling it because 14-year-olds can't be prosecuted as adults, and their suppliers are getting them to sell it because they know that the penalties are harsh for over 18s. And we've got, you know, importers carrying guns. I mean, look at all the number of foreign governments who are completely destabilized because the drug industry is so big, so huge, and so powerful only because it is illegal.
So your answer would be to just the opposite of what Mary says, is just legalize it all, control it, have the government take the profits from it, and go for it.
The government is taking the profits from it. You know, it's funny, in the third world, like Peru and Colombia and Venezuela and Trinidad and Jamaica, the government has usually got the biggest hand in it. Usually the police department and is so corrupt that they control much of the drug supply. They're in cahoots in many South American and Central American countries. It's government officials who are getting the biggest rake off, just like Noriega, although Noriega is only just the first to be discovered, but it's commonly known in a lot of world politics books that, you know, you can get anywhere, that the drug the drug dealing is largely done by government officials controlling it because they have access to this power, and they make deals with the crime networks who can only take advantage of this because it is illegal.
Mark, good to hear the other side. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Quick break here. Come back here from a fellow who says he owns a boat, and he says it's real easy for him to come and go to the States right after these.
Rather, the juvenile way. In other words, I have doctor's permission to take Tylenol 3 with codeine. And if I'm caught with 50 tablets, that could be taken away from me because that's a great amount. My car could be held and everything else, right?
Well, I think if you could prove that, you know, I don't think that's a huge problem.
Well, for instance, it is a problem. I think that's...
I think they're going to know that you're not taking 50 Tylenol 3s States to sell, Ivan. I mean, their Tylenol 3 is not that, you know...
Oh, it's got codeine in it.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's not that many people out there on the streets who want to buy Tylenol 3. You know what I mean?
But, they could take your car away from you? In other words, they're going to arrest some poor person because they might have Tylenol 3 with codeine. And they will let a person like Noriega get away.
So you think that the focus is in the wrong place?
I'll tell you what the person should do. They should have a little letter with them that is not from the doctor, but when they're caught, a little letter from Mr. Ronald Reagan saying that his astrologer said it was all right for you to... carry those.
Okay.
I think he's about three eggs short of a dozen upstairs.
Okay. Ivan, we're off topic.
What about alcohol? For instance, it's all right. A person can take his car, have his car confiscated because he's carrying. I could have my car taken away from me the way I read into it, because I have Tylenol 3 with codeine in it. Okay. But if I'm going across the border with half a dozen bottles of booze, that is more dangerous than any other drug that Noriega sells. It can make me intoxicated. I can drive down the highway and kill people. My car won't be confiscated.
Okay, Ivan.
I bet those booze companies are really happy about this because it takes the pressure off them.
Ivan, thanks for
calling.
Have a
nice day, Ann.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye. 643-9898. That's our number. If you're an out-of-town caller, go through the operator, call Collect Alp.
I agree with the gentleman that was on earlier. He was pretty strong about it, too. I think what we should go to here is a simple economics. I mean, you've got supply and you've got demand. A question I have for you, basically, and for anybody else for that matter, is will the demand for drugs ever decrease? I personally don't think it will. Okay.
Okay, so you, from that point, then maybe they can't achieve the purpose of, you know, getting rid of it.
Right, they're trying to stop the big guys eventually, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, if you cut down the supply, okay, all that's going to do is push the price of drugs up. Okay, now it's an even bigger business for the big guys, isn't it? Okay, they're going to make more money now. I mean, these guys aren't stupid, they're professionals, right?
So what's the answer, though, Dale? We don't legalize drugs, do we? Just... to make them available so that...
Yeah, but I think this particular way is not the way to do it. I mean, I personally don't have an answer on how to do it, okay? It's a very touchy subject, obviously. But you can't cut down the supply. There's no way you can do it. I mean, look at cigarettes. I mean, they keep going up in price, but it doesn't stop people. It's an addiction. Drugs are an addiction. How's it going to stop people from buying drugs? People are addicted to them. They're going to buy drugs regardless of the price.
Right. That's an interesting point you brought up, by the way, about cigarettes being an addiction. Did you read the story about the Surgeon General?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, he says the millions of smokers, this is in the States, the Surgeon General says the millions of smokers in North America, they're drug addicts, and that nicotine is a mind-altering drug that's just as bad as heroin or cocaine.
Right.
We're going to talk about that, I think, later in the week. That's a good program.
Right.
But back to this. Let me tell you another reason why they're doing this, Dale, and you tell me if this doesn't make sense. One of the reasons is because the high cost, that the money that the states are spending right now fighting, you know, drugs, you know, keeping the big guys from bringing in, you know, seizing that kind of thing, is money.
Right. Right.
So if they seize a $1 million yacht and a $10,000 car here and there, mm-hmm. from people who have broken the law because they're carrying drugs across the border, like it or not, if you've got grass in your ashtray, you're...